Out of my hat I will pull a new episode.
Six whimsical conjuration spells for your game, starting now.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing capricious conjurations.
That's right. It's been a long time since we've done a spell episode. In fact, the last one we did was, I believe, Illogical Illusions.
Yes.
And so tonight, we're going to give you six new conjuration spells that not only are whimsical and somewhat ridiculous, but I dare say somewhat useful as well for your game.
And a couple occasions, absolutely.
I mean, they may not be overpowered or you may not even want them, but we like them.
There's a couple I definitely want. There's a couple I would love to have just in real life.
100%. I love that. So if you haven't yet, hit that like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and get notified when more amazing episodes come your way. Pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Sure. Also, if you're listening to us, leaving us a review on Podchaser or iTunes would be fantastic.
It would be awesome.
Indeed. Give us some more feedback.
Give us some feedback. We like feedback. So Matt, why are we doing capricious conjuration?
First off, we've done an awful lot of specialty spells over the years.
And these are the natural extension to that.
Yeah. We haven't done conjuration yet. That's why we're doing it now.
Conjuration spells tend to have vast amount of potential. Aside from transmutation spells in D&D traditionally,
sure,
you could do a lot of stuff with those two schools.
Yes.
Much of it we've found, particularly in 5th edition, is limited to combat.
Yes.
And you know how we feel about just combat-oriented spells. That's cool. Yeah, kind of boring, right? We go for the more flavor. And because of this, we are giving you Mo Flavor tonight with six flavorful spells.
Yes. I think they're fun at the very least.
Yes. Let's kind of recap what we mean when we say kind of silly or stupid spells, Matt.
Okay. So a lot of times they're going to be lacking in mechanical advantage or at least possessing a minor advantage.
Right. They're more flavorful than anything else.
Yes.
We often consider them to be flippant or wasteful in magic.
Sure. Something that has the potential to be detrimental to the caster or their adversaries.
Yes.
It can go either way.
I love that part. Magic is magic, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like a science.
No.
It shouldn't work like a science. It should have some paybacks occasionally.
Sure. So you can get hit with your own sword.
Yes. It's probably very amusing, particularly if we write the spells.
We hope so, at least.
Yes. And additionally, tonight we're focusing on conjuration spells, amusing conjuration spells at that.
Right.
And remember,
stupid spells exist because wizards and other magic users are crazy.
Yes. And if you don't believe us, go check out the owlbear.
Well, also just look at the lore in so many of these worlds. The Netherese were like, you know what I really need to do?
I want to shave off this mountain.
I need to chop up that mountain.
Let's chop up that mountain. See that mountain right there? I'm just going to shave the top off. I'm going to flip it upside down.
It offends me that it's not a plateau.
Yeah. I'm going to flip it, turn it into a city, and float it someplace.
Yeah.
Just so I can do it.
For reasons.
For reasons. You know what I think is really awesome? I'm going to take a bear and an owl, and I'm going to breed them together to see what the hell comes up with.
Sure.
You know what's really awesome? Chules.
Of course.
A lobster, an octopus, and something else. I can't ever remember what it is.
It's to me, it's more like a lobster crayfish, because it's very crayfish shaped.
I could see that. Yeah. It's got some tentacles, though.
Yeah. But man-sized.
Yes. Yes.
A lobster or a crayfish man octopus.
I'll buy that.
Sure.
So, yeah. Wizards are crazy.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about some crazy stuff. Now, we've already done a couple of conjuration spells already. We should light upon those. Two of them, in fact, from our original
stupid spells.
Yeah.
Episode
something.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was episode something. We did McDungeons, which opened up a tiny dimensional window that produced something that was almost like food.
Right.
And then we did Summon Podium, or Summon Soapbox was the other name for the spell, which was just a cantrip. If you needed to get on a high horse, you needed to kind of do a particular speech.
Yeah.
You summoned a podium and you could speak down to the masses, and it provided a little bit of a benefit.
Exactly.
And if you haven't seen that, go check out our original episode on all the ridiculous spells, and you'll see why this has all come to this.
Yeah, and that definitely is not on video.
Let's go ahead and jump into the capricious conjurations, Matt. And the first one you have is a cantrip.
Yes.
Love this. Summon trinket. So we'll talk, of course, usual stuff, level, type, verbal, somatic, material, all that stuff. So talk to me about summon trinket.
All right. It's a cantrip.
Mm-hmm.
It is verbal and somatic. The casting time, one action, much like cantrips.
Sure.
The duration is permanent, and the range is 30 feet.
Interesting. So a permanent cantrip.
You actually are summoning a thing.
Oh, you're just summoning a trinket.
Yes.
Okay. What's the description and lore behind this?
This cantrip is used to summon a toy or brightly colored object, a trinket, if you will. Objects are no more than 3 inches to a side,
mm-hmm,
and are either detailed and fragile or relatively sturdy and plain, like a wooden ball, right?
Right.
Objects can be made either of wood, clay, or glass, and do not carry a monetary value.
So you summon a toy trinket.
Yeah.
Something fun for kids.
Yep.
Cool. Flavorful. Somewhat frivolous.
Sure.
I mean, you're casting a spell, but useful nonetheless. Yeah.
And the lore behind this is a friendly conjuration wizard trying to make sure their apprentices never lose track of the joy and wonder of magic in the race for power developed this cantrip as a way for both they and their apprentices to bring a little joy with them in their travels.
How delightful.
Yeah.
Just an easygoing wizard. He's done making the crazy crossbreeds and making them a sentient race.
Yeah.
Godlike power at their fingertips. And they decided, you know what? I just want to invent a spell to make toys for kids.
Yeah, make people happy.
It's the wizard version of toys for tots.
I was thinking of like the glass ones being like the little sun catchers that people put in their windows and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what a great way, just traveling on the road. Hey, kid, here, have a toy. Pops it out of his hand.
Yep, bloop, wooden ball. Go have fun.
Yeah. Someday that kid will be a wizard.
And that, to me, that was the other thing, right? Is like the ability to make people happy using magic also raises the interest of people who see magic as a means to do good and make people happy.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
But the next spell is a little more on the functional side. Tell us a little bit about Waste Banishment.
Yes, Waste Banishment. It is a first level conjuration spell. Verbal, somatic, and material. The material component is a tissue or piece of toilet paper, which is generally used during the casting and the business.
Sure.
Casting time and range and so forth, it's 30 feet. It's one action.
Okay.
Duration is instantaneous.
You're just banishing something.
Yes, you're banishing something to another plane. More specifically, you're banishing your waste to another plane.
So what's the description here?
Also known as the poop portal or BM banishment, this spell banishes non-living, non-mobile organic matter elsewhere. Where does it go? Someplace else. The dimension of refuse? Sewer plane? Some kind of demiplane? Take your pick, right?
Sure.
I mean, any place. You want to make up a demiplane? Go for it. In fact, we've got a whole episode on demiplanes. Go check that out.
Could be one of the layers of the abyss.
Could be the, the abyssal realm of poop.
Yep.
The point is, it goes away from you, and after that, who cares?
Right.
Waste banishment affects an area roughly 1 foot in radius.
That should be plenty.
Should be. If your poop is bigger than 1 foot in radius.
See a doctor.
See it? Yes, absolutely. Upcasting this spell at higher levels increases the radius by 1 foot per level. So if you've got, I don't know, a horse or an odiug.
Sure.
That's pooping.
Elephant.
An elephant. Yeah, elephant poop would be definitely a second, third level spell. Additionally, if cast as a 6th level or higher spell, the caster could choose for a permanent hole to be placed in the localized area.
So like a latrine, a permanent outhouse.
Yes, absolutely. Many large magical metropolises use waste banishment to remove offending occupants' deposits, and many unscrupulous organizations use this spell to permanently hide bodies.
Sure.
Because remember,
it's waste.
It's non-living, non-mobile organic matter. So you can get rid of
it.
Yeah, refuse, yep. Right? Body counts.
Sure.
You can even get rid of it with a first level spell if you chop the body up.
Fair. A little bit at a time.
So useful, somewhat frivolous, because I mean, sewer systems can handle all of this.
Sure.
But can you imagine a magical city that doesn't have a sewer system? The adventurers are in for quite a shock. What's even more interesting is what if, because it goes to a demiplane, right?
Sure.
What if there's a clog somewhere in the system? And the waste banishment manager hires the adventurers to go to that demiplane
fix the clog.
To fix the clog. They're fighting poop elementals.
Or like literally a metropolis size Odiug.
I love that idea of a giant Odiug that's just the size of a city.
Yeah. Hey man, it's been down there for a long time.
Just the great filth. The great filth shall come forth and consume all.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's waste banishment. Now you also have a first level conjuration spell, and I have to admit, I didn't get what you were talking about until I looked at the description. It's very strange. Talk to me about log roll.
All right. It is a first level conjuration, verbal, somatic, material. The material is just a small stick that must be flicked in the direction of the casting.
Like a twig?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Casting time is one action. The range is, it begins at the caster.
Okay.
And the area is 10 foot wide and a 30 foot long line.
Okay, so it's a stick that rolls 30 feet.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense. 10 foot wide.
Yes.
It's a big stick.
It is.
Do you speak softly while you cast the spell?
I mean, you could. The description of it is this. This spell was invented as part of the Frontier Games Festival.
And this is just a festival you've come up with.
Yeah. It's literally just for the lore of this spell.
Yeah. And if you haven't checked it yet, go check out our festivals episode.
Sure.
Holidays and festivals, I believe.
Yeah, you can absolutely add this one to it. The function of the spell is simple. Knock down the opposing team before they can tag your wizard.
So you tag somebody with a log?
Yes.
Okay, this is much more amusing now.
Yeah, you're literally bowling a log at them.
You're casting a rolling 10-foot log at somebody?
Yes.
That's cool.
The spell conjures a 10-foot wide log that bowls at speed in a 30-foot line. And anyone in that line must make a dex save or be knocked prone.
Busted in the face with a log as it rolls over you.
If you upcast this spell, it increases the length by 15 feet.
Okay.
For every level. And the width by 5 feet for every 2 levels.
So if I cast this as a 3rd level spell, then it's 15 feet
wide.
But an extra 30 feet long.
An extra 30 feet long.
Oh, man. You could take out an army with this if you upcast it high enough.
Yeah.
Can you just picture this for a moment? The army is sieging the tower. The wizard's up at the top of the wizard's tower in the castle.
Sure.
King comes up to the wizard. He trudges up all of the steps. He's winded because he's got gout.
Sure.
And he's been walking, hobbling very slowly. He puffs up the stairs like, "Great wizard, you must do something about this offending army in front of my castle. They seek to claim my life." And the wizard's like, "I got this." Takes a sip of his coffee, flies down. And the king's expecting, you know, some great magic.
Sure, freaking meteors or...
Nah. Fucking 40-foot log just rolls over the whole damn thing. Knocks the horses down, knocks the infantry, just like dominoes falling down.
Absolutely. Like mowing grass, right? Just...
There, we're done. Now release the jackalopes. The vampiric jackalopes.
And if you wanted to reflavor this as a big barrel, like Donkey Kong,
Donkey Kong,
I would 100% be fine with that.
I'm 100% in agreement with that. Yes, definitely do a Donkey Kong action with that too. You know what? Give it to druids. That way they can shapeshift into an ape.
And throw it? Sure, sure.
So that's awesome. So that's...
That's log roll.
Yeah, I love that.
And just in case people are curious, the rules of this game, because I decided they needed some rules, was you have teams of 8, they start 120 feet apart, and the winner is the team that can either tag all of the opposing team's casters, which must be clearly marked, or, failing that, the team with the last member standing.
Is this like a wizard game of dodgeball with
dangerous
logs? This is odd.
But you can also have rogues that are dodging the logs so that they can try and touch the wizard.
Sure.
Right? It's all about team management, man. You got to get some strategy in there.
Yeah, I love this. Delightful game. Speaking of delightful, we also have
the question of the week.
All right. What delightful question do we have this week, Matt?
If you could summon one small and inexpensive but useful item at will, so that you are never without one, what would it be?
Oh god, there's so many choices.
There's so many great answers.
My first answer would be a Sharpie.
Okay.
Because they're permanent. I can mark everything with it.
Sure.
But I would probably say that, knowing me, I would go for a lighter. I should be able to summon at will a lighter.
Sure.
I always have fire with me. I can always set somebody on fire. probably myself accidentally, but I would definitely be able to start a fire.
Yes. Mine would probably be a notebook, although a permanent pocket knife would also be super useful.
That's another good one, right? Or summon rope. Just some rope. Be like Charlie Bronson with your damn rope.
Sure.
Someone's going to get that reference.
Yeah, I got it.
Good. No, that's all that's important to me. Those are great. And of course, we're always interested in your answer to the question of the week. If you have an answer you'd like to share with us, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on Twitter or the various social media channels. We even have a website.
We do.
Got a Ko-Fi link, folks.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of stuff.
Indeed.
And of course,
you can always comment down below.
Below on this video.
Yeah. And there's a spot for that.
That's right. If you just jumped in the middle of this episode, which is kind of weird.
It's a little bit strange.
Go back to the beginning, but we're talking capricious conjuration, and we've already done three really ridiculous conjuration spells, and we've got three more. And next up is one of my own devising.
Indeed. Tell me about William the Smith's insulting slap.
You could probably guess.
Sure. Sure.
It's great. It is a first level conjuration. It can be upscaled. We'll talk about that in a second. Verbal somatic material. The material component is a small balloon, which you blow up and pop during the casting of the spell.
Okay. Sure, man.
I love everything about this. The casting time and so forth takes a bonus action.
Quick one.
Yeah. All right. And it's personal range.
Sure.
You'll see why in a second. Lasts a minute. Concentration.
So tell us, what is the description and or lore of this?
With a flourish and a pop from of the balloon, you raise your hand high to the sky, and it is sheathed in a comically oversized metallic gauntlet. Think, you know the big foam hands you get at baseball games?
Sure.
Think that, but metallic.
I would also be okay with, like, an anime lightning hand.
Or even just a big-ass metal gauntlet.
Sure.
Because I haven't decided who this is for. This could also be for, like, a paladin who really wants to smack somebody.
Also fair.
Yeah. You are proficient in the use of this ridiculous weapon and can use your spellcasting modifier in place of the usual melee attack.
Makes sense.
Sure. William the Smith's insulting slap lands as magical and strikes for 1d6 psychic and 1d6 bludgeoning damage. It's going to hurt yourself. It's going to hurt your ego.
Sure.
Additionally, if you score a critical hit, the target must save or be prone.
Of course.
Get knocked on your ass. Legends say this spell was created by a very angry performer for the purposes of defeating his heckler, who fucked around and found out.
Sure. Absolutely.
I love the idea, too. This is totally, we're going to use this in our campaign. You just raise your hand to the sky, and like this oversized comic Looney Tunes hand is sheathed in metal, and you just slap the shit out of somebody.
There's a sound clip that people love to use.
The Wilhelm scream? Because I would totally use that with this.
Oh, no. I was thinking, so there's a song where the person's like, I am the righteous hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
That one? Like, there's a whole line there that is absolutely perfect for this.
There's a Prodigy song also about this as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's my ridiculous first level conjuration spell, William the Smith's insulting slap.
Sounds delightful.
It is.
But you've also come up with a second level conjuration spell as well.
It's true. And what we're talking about is probably the greatest spell ever created on the planet.
Sure. Because I've met you.
Yes. And what we're talking about is summon flumph.
Which is clearly a spell created by you because no one loves flumps like you do.
I got mad flumph love. In fact, we're going to make a t-shirt that says flumph love on it.
Sure. With the little tentacles and a heart shape.
Hug a flumph.
Yeah.
Gotta hug a flumph, right? So it is a second level conjuration spell, which will be upscalable. You can upcast it.
Sure.
Verbal somatic material. The material component is a feather from a pillow or a stress toy. Like one of those squeezy stress toys.
With the little eyes and ears that pop out.
Yeah. Takes an action to cast, and the range is 90 feet.
What's the duration?
For as long as you need a hug, or up to 1 hour. No concentration. You should not concentrate on the flump. The flump concentrates on you.
Sure.
It's all about you, my friends. The description is as follows. This spell summons a happy, gently farting, lovable flump who appears next to you or the target and will provide any needed emotional support that you require.
Sure.
It summons your emotional support flump.
Yeah, like a squishmallow.
That amongst everything else that it does, is perfect.
Sure.
It's perfect. I need not do anything further, and yet I will.
All right.
Summon Flumph can bring forth whatever color and texture of Flumph you like, whether it's a fuzzy pink squishy Flumph or a cool plush gray couch leathery Flumph.
It's good to be able to suit it towards your target audience.
Yeah, you got to have different types of Flumph, right? Different types of people. The Flumph understands your language, but it communicates telepathically because it's a Flumph.
Sure.
Most importantly, the Flumph is extremely soft and huggable, which is why you learned the spell in the first place.
Right.
The spell exists to hug the Flumph.
And for the Flumph to hug them.
I 100% agree with that. If you upcast this spell as a third level spell, the Flump's tender hugs will provide advantage on any saves against psychic damage for the next hour.
Sure.
If it's upcast as a fourth level spell, the Flump will also heal you of 2d8 points of damage in addition to the previous abilities.
Nice.
And finally, if you upcast a spell as a fifth level spell or higher, you can ride the Flump at a leisurely pace of 30 feet per round, and the Flump will last for 1 hour per level above fifth.
Nice.
So you can ride
Jetson's car.
Yeah, you could ride a floatable couch, man.
Sure.
Any black-hearted individual who happens to kill the summoned Flump is affected by a curse as per bestow cursed and is probably going to hell.
Right.
Not even probably, definitely.
Yeah, that is a topic we've covered before. Kill a Flump, go to hell.
Yeah. And some paladin of Flump vengeance will come after you at some point in my game.
I like the idea of Oath of the Flump Paladin.
Yeah, of Flump Vengeance?
No, I mean like the other side, like the super compassionate paladin.
Oh, the hugging paladin?
Yeah.
He just talks like a counselor?
Yeah, like emotional support paladin.
That would be kind of neat. He has maybe like pillow armor.
Sure.
He's going to drown anyway, unfortunately.
Well, once he gets waterlogged, it's going to get heavy.
And body would be used as a flotation device, though, somehow. Yeah, so that's Summon Flump, a delightful spell.
Sounds great.
As promised, we did say we had 6 capricious conjuration spells, and this time, Matt, you've gone above and beyond because, you know, we've been doing first, second, third level spells and so forth, but you have a 9th level conjuration spell.
Yes.
That is epic. Literally, it's epic.
It is 9th level.
And it's a play on an old school spell called Raise Nation, which literally raised like a castle.
Yep.
And this one is called Raise Libation.
Yes.
So tell me about Raise Libation.
Well, it is a 9th level conjuration. It is also a ritual spell.
As it should be. You'll understand why in a second.
It is verbal, somatic, and material.
Okay. What's the material component?
A miniature carved inn or tavern, as well as a prepared actual inn or tavern, staffed or not.
So I've got to have a representation of the inn or tavern that I have.
Yes.
And then the actual inn or tavern.
Yes. Like a for real inn or tavern.
Okay, cool. So just to make sure.
Yeah. The casting time is 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The range is 120 feet.
Sure.
The area is 50 foot by 50 foot by 40 foot.
So a tavern building.
Yes.
A large tavern building.
Yeah, decent size.
How long does it last?
24 hours.
Okay, very cool. What's the lore behind Raise Libation?
The Rambling Rovers, an adventuring group, tired of not being able to find decent drinks or accommodations while out on the road, finally founded their own tavern, the Rambler's Rest.
Cool.
And devised a way to bring it with them.
So they made their own tavern, and this spell has been created so that they could take the tavern with them.
Yes.
Okay.
This spell summons a prepared tavern from its location to a spot you determine in range. Raise Libation displaces the natural topography, flora, and fauna for the duration of the spell.
It just shuttles it out of the way and says, fuck you for the moment.
Yes, it makes a sheer plane to put the tavern on.
Awesome. I love that. You know what I love about the visual of that is you could have like this deep forest and then someone casts a spell and the forest literally goes whoop and just kind of moves around it and there's just this bare patch of ground.
I also like the idea that it actually has like a 20-foot yard all the way around, you know, for a place to park your horses and what have you.
Sure, yeah. It's a tavern, guys.
At the end of the spell's duration, it returns the tavern to its normal location, and all displaced things, flora, fauna, and topography, return, leaving the area untouched.
Very cool. It was never there.
It was there, and then not there.
For 24 hours, that tavern was ours, and then it disappeared in the night. Never knew who that wizard was, but damn did I get drunk.
Yep. Now, if this spell is recast daily for a month in the same location, this location becomes the new permanent home of the tavern.
So if you need to relocate your base of operations or your tavern of operations,
then there you go.
There you go.
I love the idea of like some merchant adventurers who find the perfect place for a tavern while they're out adventuring.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just hang out for a month, resituate their home base, and then go back out adventuring again.
You know what'd be cool about this? I don't know, you got a little bit more of the spell, but what'd be interesting is they go to this town, all right? And they're like, this would be a perfect place for our tavern. And they just walk over to this random alley, and all of the people in the city are like, what the hell is that wizard doing? He's there every morning, casts his spell for 10 minutes, and then he just walks away like nothing. And then like on the 30th day, the moon rises, and all of a sudden there's a tavern there.
Warps it.
Yeah, it literally just kind of pushes everything out of the way and warps reality until this tavern, like it's always been there.
Yep.
I even could see it, like if the stonework is different, it maybe like changes the stonework slightly to blend in with the rest of the city.
I'd be fine with that. It's ninth level.
Thematically, you could easily add that in.
Sure.
All right, so what else is going on with this?
If the tavern is occupied at the time of casting, all occupants are brought to the current location.
Oh.
As the spell is being cast, because remember, it's a 10-minute casting time, lights and noises warn the occupants before the conjuration takes place.
Warning, doors are closing and will not reopen. Doo-doo-doo.
The thing is like, in my personal world, it's not going to tell you where it's being relocated to.
No, it's just saying that it's going to be relocated.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. It's just being relocated. So you just hear this message, this tavern is being relocated. Please step outside or hang on for a ride.
Yep. And then it just 10 minutes later ports into wherever you need it.
And you know, the fun part is the drunks may never notice the difference.
It's true.
So there you have it. Six capricious conjurations for you to use in your campaign. And of course, delightful, flavorful, and most of all, amusing.
I'm still picturing the Donkey Kong log roll. Like I'm absolutely going to use that at some point.
Yeah. Now I need to make a Warlock Mario. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on Twitter. Did you enjoy this program? We've got more up our sleeves. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars. Give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you listen to our podcast. And if you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. It gets our show in front of more people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
He's currently drawing an arcane circle with strange sigils and summoning forth some deep horror from the internet.
A troll.
Yeah, an internet troll. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Show song by the Mighty D20.
What a wonderful guy.
This is a Subterranean production.
The end.